Welcome back to Immigrants Wake America. This is a podcast where storytellers share their family histories and the centrality of women in their life stories. I am Shruti Jain.
And I am Lily. We are PhD students at SUNY Binghamton University, and we are the hosts and producers of this podcast. Today, our guests are Kojo Sanu and Max Courant. Kojo was a student at Binghamton University and currently works as a photographer in New York City and at the Tenement Museum. Max is a student at Binghamton University who is actively involved in work related to community engagement.
Kojo and Max talk about how they perceive their personal identity, their relationships with their families, and the conflicts or contradictions they negotiate within their families and in the world at large.
Originally, she's from Ghana, which is in West Africa. More specifically, that's the Volta region, which is alongside the Volta River, which is kind of considered its own specific region with its own specific people. So that's in East Ghana, and the region is also considered part of Togo, which is the country directly to the east of Ghana. So the people that, you know, are from that region are considered Ewe people. Ewe, that's spelled E-W-E. So that was, if I remember the year correctly, that would have been 1976. And as for a specific reason, I'm not sure, but I can't imagine it would be too different than the same reasons that anyone from the global south would have moved to America or moved to New York in that time, which is just, you know, there's just always been this sense of greater economic opportunity.
So my mother is from the country of Uzbekistan, specifically its capital city of Tashkent, and she immigrated to America here in the early 1990s. My father, they're both from the same city, and they met there, and then my dad and his family, they moved to America first. He kept visiting my mother, and then she eventually moved to join him there. They were, like I was just saying, going for better economic opportunities. And yeah, like since she's been here, she established herself in the fashion world. She was a pattern designer. She worked in Garment Avenue in New York City. That's kind of her journey.
You know, she's the parent and I'm the son. Like, even though I'm like I'm a whole adult now, like that still is like I'm her son. More so than anything else. So I would say I think there are some, you know, like very clear cultural differences that manifest themselves ideologically in terms of like how we view the world that also impact like what our relationship is. Like, I know where she is and it's very different from where I am. You know, she's my mom. I love her. And like, obviously have like such a great respect for everything that she's done just like throughout her life. I know I touched upon it in my story, like a lot of the sacrifices she's had to make just as, you know, a woman like immigrating here to America, let alone one who's like a single mother, right?
Like, my mother's background is definitely very different, I think, like from what yours went through, like immigrating here and her relationship with you. But I really do relate to like when you were saying that, like that, I guess that, not how you worded it, like that cultural presence is definitely felt of like her like home culture. It's actually interesting because for me, I've seen that presence changing a lot as my mother gets more and more kind of Americanized and modernized, because I always have a tough time connecting to my home culture because Russian culture is much more conservative than at least my own like culture where I find belonging. I'm very much of the, you know, like left-leaning, left-wing, like liberal mindset. But lately she's started to become so much more understanding. Like, we're able to actually have really deep conversations that are really self-aware, where she feels like she can only talk about something with me. Because I'm kind of like the one who like who gets her a lot. Like, that's something I've had to understand and explore a lot myself over the past couple of years about how like I have such a big role to her as her like oldest son. Like in the story when I was talking about my mantipot, like this thing she would like cook in for my family for special occasions. The most memorable part of what she shared about with me about it was that she would like make these Mantis little dumplings with this community of other like Muslim women, like over in Tashkent. There's a big like Muslim culture there, presence. Because she doesn't really have that exactly here. I'm kind of like her confidant.
Yeah, I think as a result of I guess that that kind of separation from the rest of the family, there honestly aren't even too many things that I know she has or does that's, I guess, like connected back to the culture. So for me, it's even less so. But one thing that she does definitely have on me is how she, I guess, cooks. I guess things are a lot more traditional to Ghanaian food. Such as fufu. I know that's a very popular one even here in America. She'll make that every now and then, and I would say that's like a pretty good clear indication, like, oh yeah, she's from Ghana. That's definitely, I think, if anything, probably, I guess, the most like immediate and the most distinct link back to the culture. So food, I think that's the case for like a lot of people. Food be such an important factor in terms of, I guess, like feeling back at home or having, I guess, some sort of linkage back to where you're coming from. And I guess in terms of like how that's passed down.
So my entire dad's side is Jewish. My mom's mom is Muslim, and that's like what she's like most, I think, closely connected to. And my mom's dad is Christian. So there's all these different religions around me. But we don't really practice anything like at home. I personally identify as an atheist, but I also understand how like these different religions have a, like, at least how my parents and their like parents and their families identify with them and have identified with them. It definitely plays like a direct and indirect influence, has a direct and indirect influence on my life, my house. But I know she like cares a lot about that because it kind of connects her to her mother who's like, since passed.
I personally have never been religious. I think my mom has always kind of been one of those that's like religious in the sense that like you pray when you need something to happen, you know. The first things I remember learning about religion literally come from watching The Simpsons as a kid. Whereas for me, it was never really like a day-to-day thing. So I feel like a lot of people, like a lot of children of like immigrants, there obviously is like this huge trope in terms of, I guess, like living to like parental expectations, as, you know, like the second generation or first. I honestly don't know. There's this trope that, yeah, like they came here, they worked hard, they like set like the roots for you to go to college, get like another serious person job, and I guess earn a lot of money, which, I mean, even if you were to follow that route, who is to say, considering, I guess, the economic situation we're in right now. I just grew up with like a type of mindset that I really wouldn't care about that sort of thing. And you know, to enormous credit to my mom, I think she pretty much understood that. I think there's like a whole almost like interfamilial like competition when it comes to a lot of these immigrant families in terms of like, oh yeah, well, my son, oh, he's doing so well in school right now, you know, actually just, you know, made honor roll, dean's list, and it's gonna be like in med school pretty, like the fact that, you know, she hasn't really cared about that because he doesn't really talk to them, I think, has definitely lessened any sort of pressure that I would be on. Because I feel like if that was the case, I would have a lot of explaining to do, you know, at Thanksgiving and that type of thing. You know, like, I'd be, like, been grilled by, like, uncles and stuff like that.
There are exactly 20 days until I have to give that exact same explanation. I also very much relate to that feeling of like I had to like rebelling. But the thing is, I'm still doing it to this day. Like, I always feel like what I'm doing to my dad especially and to the rest of my family, minus my mom because she's just very supportive of what I'm doing, it's like an active rebellion. And it affects me in a lot of ways. Like, I I'm the type of person who like I have very little awareness of when I'm doing like well, if I'm like doing good stuff. So everyone around me is like, "Oh my God, like look at all these things you're doing. Like, you know, your grades are great, like you're doing these projects." But for my dad, it's always an explanation. It's like it's pretty painful. It leads me to do like pretty cool stuff. So I just feel like I'm kind of like, even though he's not here, he's here. The influence that people who raised us and just in our lives have on us. You know, I feel that rebellion constantly, and I'm counting down the days till Thanksgiving, and I'm just thinking, okay, well, how much of my work, you know, do I disclose? Do I share that I'm planning to do research on racism at Binghamton with my very conservative family that doesn't believe it's real? We'll see how much I feel to do that, but I always kind of want to. Like, I never want to hide who I am, but yeah, it's a constant rebellion.
My mom, like I said earlier, she's Ewe. She speaks the Ewe language, which is again like regional to that part of Ghana as well as Togo. I grew up learning it. However, when I was in pre-K, or not even necessarily pre-K, I was like in daycare, I believe. I used a word in Ewe because I guess. You know, when you're that young, you don't really delineate between, I guess, like the different languages in your head. And I guess I said a word that sounded like it could be offensive in the English language, towards, I guess, like one of the workers there at the daycare. And I mean, like she complained about it to my mom, and as a result, my mom just stopped teaching me Ewe. And I mean, since then, I haven't really, there wasn't any like attempt for me to like relearn it or continue learning, you know, back then. So I just never learned it. Although it doesn't really affect my life too much, because like I said, don't really have too much connection to the rest of the family. It still is like, I really could have known like a second language. Like, and you know, just because I called a daycare worker. I don't even remember the exact word, but it kind of sounded like caca, which I mean, yeah.
I have a funny connection to that, to that word specifically. For whatever reason, when I was little, I always called my grandma Kaka. It means what you, I don't think it has any special meaning in Russian. I just like, I guess I heard her saying it once, thought it was her name. So till the day she passed, and that's to this day kind of how I think about her. Wow, I have not thought about that in like years. So Kaka, yeah. For me, my mom speaks Russian. That's her native language. It's also my, I don't count it as my native language. It's the language that I first learned. I grew up speaking Russian to my house. I still do speak fluent Russian, although it's to my grandpa and my parents, I'm like a walking humor machine when they hear me speak Russian. I remember I had this phase of, because again, rebellion comes up here, where when I was learning English in like the not I forget, when I was like 5 or 6, so like kindergarten, first grade, second grade, kind of vehemently, I really did not want to know Russian anymore. I was like, screw this language. I want to be American. I don't want to have these like weird school lunches. Give me Lunchables. I don't want to learn this darn language that I also, like you, Coach, I sometimes just like say words by accident. So for a while, I just didn't want to like speak Russian. But I was like, screw this language. And then a couple years later, I was like, wait, I don't want to lose it. So I tried to like really like learn it again and just really start speaking it again. And I feel warmth whenever I speak to people in Russian. Even though I don't fully relate to the culture, I can hold a good conversation. And I've used it like whenever I've done like any like I used to do a lot of political campaigns, so I'd speak to people in Queens and Russian too. But then I have to be careful for the conversation to not take a unexpected turn. Because then when you're speaking Russian, I think it also gives the idea that you're pretty conservative too. But yeah, it feels nice when I'm able to like speak to other people in Russian. It feels a little warm and like I'm connected to them, even though I don't fully agree with a lot of the values of the culture. It's like this really weird paradox where it's like, I feel so connected to you, but also I could not like see a person who I'm more different from. But it's also like, wow, like we see the world so differently, and I'm trying to understand my role and my privilege in it. So it's this like big like disconnect there.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Immigrants Wake America. For more conversations and explorations, please listen to our future episodes available on all major streaming platforms. We have linked our social media and website in the description box. We would be happy to hear your thoughts and feedback. See you next time. Until then, take care and stay safe.